Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Luke once again. We'll be in chapter 18. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." Galatians 6, 9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing." That is means don't be weary in doing good. "For in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Shall we stand together? We read just one verse this morning, Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Luke 18 and verse 1. "And he, that being Jesus, spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Dear Heavenly Father, give us strength. Lord, we realize that we are in trying times. Lord, we have a very important election coming up next month. We ask that your believers will vote. And vote, Lord, in such a way as if we're worried about our nation's future. Lord, we pray that we will see your blessings on America with godly men and women in office. And ask, Lord, now that you would bless this service, that souls could be saved and hearts made right. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Prayer, a necessity and a privilege. You may want to write that down on your bulletin. It's not original with me. Prayer, a necessity and a privilege. If you're one that takes notes, we are going to be using the phrase, "Man ought always to pray," and we're going to be emphasizing each word. And the first one is, men ought to pray. Let me read to you from a letter from one of our missionaries, Larry Kane, missionary to Chile. Got this letter just a couple of days ago. I believe, Pastor Stephen, you brought it in. I think it was sent by email. And he says here, "What a thrill it is to see men willing to allow God to use them." And it's interesting that missionaries state it and pastors state it, what we need are men. Men that will bring their families to church, men that are willing to pray, men who are willing to be used of the Lord. They need to stay in tune with God. If I never talk to my wife, what type of a relationship would we really have? Now, don't say a peaceful one. But what type of relationship would we have if we never talked? It would not be the best, would it? How important it is that we talk with our Lord. And it doesn't have to always be with flowing words of praise. There are going to be times in which you say, "Lord, I'm discouraged. I don't understand what's happening. Lord, help my unbelief." But as we have stated in the past, we need godly men, men who are willing to pray. And may I say this, women, we need women who also pray. One of the worst things of having my mother not here is that she is not here praying for me. And that has been a burden on my heart. When Mrs. Weinberger passed away, one of the things that hurt the most was that she was not here praying for me anymore. You know, we need godly women and godly men who are willing to what? To pray. Men ought to pray. Number two, men ought to pray. Matthew 5:44, "Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Did Jesus do this? Yes, he did. He prayed for them that persecuted him, and he prayed for them that despitefully used him, and we ought to pray. Mark 11:25a says, and when ye stand praying, forgive. I believe it's important that we are willing to forgive one another because, folks, we do hurt one another. Sometimes on purpose, usually by accident, but we need to pray. Did Jesus do this? Did he forgive when he prayed? Absolutely, he did it. We know it on the cross, right? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Philippians 4:6, but in everything by prayer with thanksgiving. Did Jesus do this? He did. He prayed that the Lord's will would be done, and he wanted everything to be done for the honor of God. Luke 11:1 says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. That's something we should do, isn't it? We should ask the Lord to help us to pray. James 5:16b says, pray for one another. We need to pray for each other. I believe this, that God is far more willing to answer your prayer for someone else than he is when you pray only about yourself. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't pray for yourself. I believe you should. But I believe you should be praying for other people. I can look into the faces of some of you right now and say, you know, you need prayer right now. You need prayer, and prayer needs to be offered on your behalf. Prayer. Not one mission letter arrives that does not request your continual prayer support. This one I mentioned just briefly from Brother Cain had these words, please pray with us for, and he lists four different things. The missionaries ask that you pray for them. I want you to write this down. I don't ask you to write down too many things. I want you to write down this. There is no greater way to show love than to pray for one another. Now, I didn't hear an amen there. I know it must be hard to write, hear, and read and pray, say amen all at the same time. But there is no greater way to show love than to pray for one another. Oh, good. How about that? Yes. You know how to get over being mad at somebody? Pray for them. You're upset at me over something I've done or something I said, and I do say some things that maybe you get upset at. Pray for me. You know how I know that works? Because I've done it. You know, we need to pray for one another, and you show no greater way in showing your love than when you pray one for another. God is more than a creator. I liked what Brother Mark read there from that Puritan. I'd like to have a copy of that, Brother Mark. That was good. I might put that in the bulletin. But God is more than a creator bringing a universe into being and establishing laws for it. More than a decree maker determining events. He wants a personal relationship with us. He wants a personal relationship with us, and it shouldn't be one-sided. We need to interact with our Lord. Prayer is a form of worship, showing honor to our Lord. Prayer is to be definite, asking for the Lord's will to be done. And may I say this, when you are praying for something to change, always, always, always say, Lord, your will be done. That is the prayer that is always answered. When we go through some times of difficulty, remember the Apostle Paul who prayed that the Lord would remove something, and he said, my grace is sufficient. And he wasn't going to remove the thorn in the flesh. Prayer is to be definite. Prayer is to be undiscouraged by delayed answers. Because sometimes the Lord says, just wait a while. You know how I know that? Because a lot of prayers that I have prayed have not yet been answered. And I'm sure that one of these days the Lord will say, now's the time. But men ought always to pray. Men ought always to pray. But men ought always to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So men ought always to pray. Not just during times of calamity, not just because it's the prayer time at 5:30, but always to pray. And then we find that men ought always to pray. Pray. Philippians 4:6 says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Thanksgiving is important. Have you ever thanked the Lord that you have electricity? Are you glad you have electricity? We have some visitors here today. Their church is boiler. We're not. Have you ever thanked God for heat? Now, I know some of you think the heat should be turned up a little bit. I heard a no and an amen from a couple. Yes. Some of you think we should have the air conditioning on. Yes, I see the hands back there. I think it's hilarious when we have the air conditioning on and one woman is covering herself up with a blanket and another one's fanning herself. Yes. But do you thank God for heat, for lights, for a comfortable pew, and for a man who's only going to speak to 12 o'clock? Yes. I tell you what, we ought to thank God for the cars we drive. I tell you what, we were in Grand Rapids, gas was $2.89. I tell you what, I think I'd drive over there just to fill up at $2.89. Yes. Now, I don't know what it's going to be like in a couple of days, but maybe it's coming this way, folks. But aren't you glad you can get by gas? I tell you what. Now, if we can get milk to come back down again. Yeah. But aren't you glad that there's food over here at Kroger's? Yeah. Meijer's or wherever you shop. Aren't you glad? You thank God? You know, we need to thank God for the blessings that we receive day by day. We ought to thank God that we can come to church. That we can come and sing songs. I enjoy it. I tell you what, we were singing that, "It is well with my soul." I wanted another verse. And I always appreciate that first song, "How Great Thou Art." We appreciate Barb Montag buying the rights so we could glue that in the back of our book. Thank you, Barb. Appreciate that. I enjoy singing that song. It's good to sing. We should thank God that we can do that. But then we find we've done men ought always to pray, but then, and not to faint. And not to faint. These are words of him that will avenge his elect who cry day and night unto him. We'll read that in just a moment. The thought of praying and not fainting goes hand in hand. Notice that. Praying and not fainting goes hand in hand. Fainting comes when we stop praying. Now, we're not talking about a physical fainting. We're talking about a spiritual fainting. When we are at our wit's end and we fall flat on our face. Men stop praying due to unbelief. Now, I know this. There are times that I have prayed for things and they didn't come about. And my first reaction was, well, Lord, what happened? And then I say, okay, Lord, it must have been your will. Men stop praying due to unbelief. Men don't pray when they rely on themselves. And when you rely on yourself, is it going to go good? Men won't pray due to sin and wrong relationships with God. So they stop praying due to unbelief. They don't pray when they rely on themselves, and they won't pray due to sin. And men forget to pray when they begin to drift away from God. You can tell your relationship with the Lord due to how much time you spend praying. Because the closer you are to somebody, the more you want to pray. Or talk to them, and the more you're closer to God, the more you want to pray. Terry Chapel writes, "Drowning is almost always a deceptively quiet event. We have the opinion if someone is drowning that they're thrashing around all over the place. No, usually if they're drowning, it's just the opposite. They're still and they're sinking. They're sinking. And it's the same in our spiritual lives. We can drift away. We can drown in this world. So in conclusion, let's begin reading at verse 2. Jesus has a parable saying, "There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjudge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" He is giving the example that we should trouble him with our prayers. See, prayer is a real thing. It has intrinsic value. And we should pray. Prayer is a simple thing. Any child can pray. Do you agree with that? Any child can pray. And we should have the faith of a child. We should pray believing our God will hear and answer accordingly. I read the story about the drought in the Midwest, in the middle of the last century. And there was a prayer meeting for rain. And one young girl brought an umbrella. We need to have the faith of a child. Prayer is a desirable thing. Men ought to pray just as they work and eat and sleep. Prayer is a constant thing. As we read in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, pray without ceasing. Prayer is a testing thing. And faint not. Ye shall reap if you faint not. Praying always and not fainting is the evidence of strong faith. And we should have strong faith. We should be growing in our faith. Remember, the trial of your faith is precious. Prayer is a profitable thing. The Lord has encouraged us to pray, and we can't count our to pray, and we can count on it that He will answer our prayers. He has asked us to pray. Prayer is to be done in faith. And our Lord ends this parable with a very serious thought. He's talking about prayer. He says, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" If there is no faith, there will be no one doing what? Praying. And we are to pray. So how is your prayer life this morning? If I were to ask you to write down how many times you prayed yesterday, how many times would you write it? What would be your answer? How many times did you pray yesterday? Did you pray for breakfast? Lunch? Dinner? Did you pray for Pastor Paul? Well, he needs it. If I have a bad sermon, it's your fault. You'll get that later on. Did you pray for the Covenant Baptist Church? Did you pray for your parents? Did you pray for your kids? How many times did you pray this morning? Did you pray on your way to church? You know, sometimes, and Miss Judy said that Satan really battles us on Sunday mornings. And may I say this, he does. Satan's desire is to give you a reason not to come to church. We need to pray. We need to pray that we will get there and that God will bless us and that we can go forth and be used of the Lord this week. We ought to pray. But he asks the question, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Notice he doesn't ask, will I find religion? He doesn't say, will I find politics? He doesn't say, will I find wealth or health? Or education. He says, will I find faith? Making you wonder, is he coming back? Wondering, where are the prayers? We ought to pray. When we have an altar call, prayer is not the enemy of the saint. It is a weapon of the saint. It is something that we can use in the working of the Lord. Shall we stand together? Our song for this morning is Only Trust Him, 401. He's asking us to trust Him. He's asking us to pray. Many of you have prayer requests. We have them on our prayer list. Some of you have unspoken prayer requests that you find is a burden that you don't want to share, and that's fine. Some of you are praying for the loved one that doesn't know Christ as Savior. Some of you are praying for that person that is struggling with something in their life. Prayer. We are to pray and not to faint. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would bless this invitation time. And Lord, we ask that the altar would be some place that we could come knowing that you'll hear us. Lord, we pray that our hearts are right and that we are of a right mind when we come. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.